This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Tonight, I want to speak to you about, look, honestly, she's my ultimate role model. From the moment that I first, you know, learned about her legacy, I've always felt constantly inspired to try to, you know, strive to emulate her example as much as I can, inshallah, in every aspect of my life. To me, she was a woman who was not only like a mountain in comparison to the vast majority of other women, but also she was like a mountain in comparison to the vast majority of men as well. And how could she not be when she is Aisha radiallahu anha, as-siddiqah, bint as-siddiq, right? The daughter of Abu Bakr as-siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Ruman radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha, who was born into a household of al-Islam, and, you know, raised in the purest of households of Islam by parents who were from amongst the Muhajireen, who first migrated from Mecca to Al-Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, the one whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw her in a dream 3 nights in a row, subhanallah, and he was told that this will be your wife. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, "Ya Aisha, verily Jibreel alayhi salam came to me with an image of you wrapped in a silken cloth, subhanallah. And he said to me, Ya Rasulullah, this is your wife. And so when I uncovered it, I found it was you, subhanallah." Aisha radiallahu anha, the one who was the most beloved of all people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who, imagine my dear sisters, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was surrounded one time by male sahaba and was asked, "Who from amongst people is the most loved to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" He told them, "Aisha radiallahu anha." So they said, "But Ya Rasulullah, we meant from the men." He said, "Her father," meaning Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And as Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah said about this hadith, he said, "And this hadith is a proof that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the best from amongst the men of this ummah, just as he loved the best from amongst the women of this ummah after Khadija radiallahu anha." Aisha radiallahu anha, the one who, due to her high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala sent down verses from above the seven heavens, defending her honor and bearing witness to her purity and innocence until the day of resurrection. Aisha radiallahu anha, the one who Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, hadihi zawjatuka fi dunya wal akhirah." "Ya Rasulullah, verily this is your wife in both this world and the akhirah." Aisha radiallahu anha, the one whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Do not harm me with regards to Aisha, for verily the wahi, the revelation, doesn't come down to me while I'm under the same blanket of any wife except for Aisha radiallahu anha." And my dearest sisters, what I want to share with you tonight are some of the life-changing lessons that I've learned from the legacy of Aisha, inshallah, which have, you know, helped me in my own journey of personal development, and also aspiring for higher in both this life and the next, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Because, my dearest sisters, first of all, it's through Aisha radiallahu anha that, for example, I've learned that to be considered to be pious, it does not mean that you have to be perfect, right? And that you can't be real as a person, right? And that even if you have certain weaknesses, even if you have certain aspects of your personality that you might struggle with, that doesn't mean you can't be righteous with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, one of the greatest, you know, struggles that Aisha radiallahu anha used to have was with her jealousy and her ghira for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, that was due to how much she used to have love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was due to these strong emotions that she used to have that whenever the Prophet ﷺ, you know, would marry a new wife, she would actually go and check out that wife, you know, to see how beautiful that new wife was, you know, try to find out would that wife be like a competitor to her in seeking the attention of the Prophet ﷺ. Even sometimes she'd send one of the other wives to go check out on her behalf, you know. But look, Aisha radiallahu anha, she tells us that, you know, there's been some funny incidents that happened due to these emotions that Aisha used to have. But one of them was that, you know, one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gathered at her house with some of the Sahaba, and Salama radiallahu anha had sent a dish of food for them to eat together. Now, for those of you who don't know, Salama, who's another wife of the Messenger of Allah, she was extremely beautiful, right? And no doubt her cooking would have been far superior to the likes of Aisha radiallahu anha, because, you know, Salama was a lot older. She's more experienced than Aisha, you know, and Aisha wasn't exactly known for her good cooking skills, okay? So when Aisha found them, you know, sitting there enjoying that food that Salama has made, her emotions, you know, overtook her, and she actually came and hit that dish and it broke into two. SubhanAllah. And so the Prophet, he realized, you know, what was going on with Aisha. So he simply just smiled, you know, started picking up that food, started picking up those pieces of the plate. And he just told the Sahaba, your mother she's become jealous, you know. And then basically just told Aisha, you send one of your plates to, you know, one of your dishes to replace that for Salama. So no problems would happen between them, right? So they covered it up. But look, sisters, one of the things I love about Aisha was her rawness. You know, her rawness, her honesty in, you know, narrating many of these funny incidents about herself. You know, and subhanAllah, this actually really helps us to relate to her in even a greater way. You know, you see how she never tried to present herself as being that perfect image of, you know, a pious woman who, you know, never faced even one struggle in overcoming her nafs. So I think that's such an important, you know, lesson that we can take from her life, subhanAllah. But look, one thing I do want to mention here too, before I move on, is that even though she had these emotions, but, you know, and even though she had, like, minor conflicts with some of the other wives, the thing you need to notice is that never prevented her from, you know, being just in the way that she would speak about, you know, those other wives behind their back, and in acknowledging their good qualities, right? And as we know as women, this is something that women in particular tend to struggle with a lot, you know? Especially if there's any jealousy with a woman or bad feelings towards another sister. Many times, you know, if a sister's asked about another sister they've had some problems with, right? You'll find that it's very hard for that person or that sister to, you know, basically speak about that other sister with justice. You find often they end up, as you know, backbiting them and stuff like that, right? But, you know, if you look at the example of Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, how did she speak about one of her greatest rivals, her greatest competitors, who was Zainab bin Jahsh? You know, look at the way she speaks about it. She goes, I did not see any woman who was more fearing of Allah Ta'ala, more sincere in her iman, and more generous in the giving of charity than Zainab radiallahu anha. So that's why, my dearest sisters, you know, one of the important lessons that I've learned myself from Aisha is how to try to have integrity, especially behind people's backs. And, you know, the reality is if someone has true iman and taqwa in their heart, then that in itself should help that person in being just in the way that they speak about others behind their back, you know, even if they've had a problem with that particular person, right? Because as we know, ultimately Islam is not about words, right? A deen, you know, like the deen is mu'amala. The deen is, you know, interactions, the way we interact and treat others. All right, so also from the other, you know, greatest lessons that I've learned from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha is that no matter how good or perfect you might try to be, but there's always going to be someone out there with a sick heart who's going to try and make fitna about you, all right? That's something we should always learn. And if you look at the incident of al-ifk, okay, in how those people with sick hearts created that slander about Aisha, okay? And look at her level, look at her caliber, look at how pure and chaste she was. And despite her being brought up in the purest of households, you know, despite her being married to the purest of all mankind, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what it shows you is that sometimes Allah Ta'ala is going to test you with people speaking about you, and that often what they say about you will be from the hardest things for you to hear being said about yourself. SubhanAllah. That's how you know it's a real test from Allah, right? But one of the most important lessons we also learn from this incident of Al-Ifk is that as long as you are patient, you know, and put your trust in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and you know, seek nearness to Allah Ta'ala through that test, like Aisha radiallahu anha did, then inshallah you'll find that Allah Ta'ala can in fact actually raise you in status higher than you were before that trial, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. In both this life and the next, bi'idhnillah. So we see how, you know, if you look at how she was in the peak of her trial, right? Despite how alone she felt, the whole community is speaking about her behind her back. They're suspecting, yani everyone's suspecting her, almost everyone's suspecting her, to the level that even those closest to her, like her father, her mother, even the Prophet, they don't know what to say to her, subhanAllah. And despite how much she cried also, due to how hurt she felt, you know, thinking about how these people can speak about me like this, how can they think even about me like this, right? But in her heart, she had that yaqeen that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to get me out of this trial, right? So look, the fact of the matter is she was tested. She had strong iman, but it didn't stop her from crying. She still cried plenty, okay? So crying is not a sign that you're not being patient, as people always tell you. That don't be patient. They see one tear come down, be patient, right? but we notice, what does she say in the peak of her trial? She says the same words as Yaqub alayhi salam when he was tested with the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam. She says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. She says, for me, patience is, you know, for me is the beautiful patience. And, you know, she basically said, and Allah is the ultimate helper in everything that is being asserted about me, right? So, subhanAllah, we see how Allah Ta'ala then goes to reveal to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about her innocence. And he sends down ayat to be recited until Yawm Al-Qiyamah, testifying to her innocence and purity. And Aisha radiallahu anha says about this, she said, subhanAllah, she said, I had yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala would reveal something about my innocence, but I never imagined that he would actually reveal ayat about me. She said, subhanAllah, I thought myself far too insignificant that Allah would reveal verses about someone like me. All I hoped is that maybe Allah would show the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam something in one of his dreams. So these verses, if you look at them in Surah An-Nur, verse 10 and 11, I'll just quickly recite them, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. So Allah Ta'ala, just quickly what he says in this ayat, is that verily those who have come with this ifk, this slander, are a group from amongst you. Do not think that this is sharra lakum. Don't think this is something bad for you. Rather, bal huwa khayru lakum. Rather, it is something that is good for you. لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبًا مِّنَ الْإِثْ. Every single one of them will take a share in the sin of that iftira, of that slander. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِّنْهُمْ. The one who started the most, they will have the biggest share. And they will have the greatest punishment that will protect us. Then Allah Ta'ala says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ. When you heard that slander, if only you had thought about the believing men and the believing women like you think about yourself and think about them in the best way. وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. And you said that verily this is a clear slander. So my dearest sisters, it's due to these verses in Surah An-Nur that the scholars said that whoever abuses Aisha radiallahu anha after Allah Ta'ala declared her innocence from above the seven heavens, they have no share in Islam. And if they slander her in her purity, then they've disbelieved in the clear ayat of the Quran. Right? So everyone has to be very careful when they speak about Aisha in particular, radiallahu anha wa adaha. Okay, so also from the lessons that I've learned from the lives of Aisha, something that I think Sister Huda, yes, she was speaking about before, is that how, you know, we need to be, you know, being concerned about the ummah, being concerned about the deen of al-Islam. This is something that's not only, it's not only for men to be concerned about. You know, many times as women, we become so, like, of course, you know, obviously our home, our husband, all those things, they are the top priority for us. But that does not mean that we shouldn't also be thinking outwardly and being concerned about the affairs of the ummah and thinking about what can we contribute also to al-Islam and to the affairs of the ummah, right? And often we forget the legacy of the Sahabiyat, you know, how much they sacrifice, how much they strive for Islam and for the ummah. Think about Aisha radiallahu anha, she's only 11 years of age, sisters, and already she was out there on the battlefields of Uhud, and she's carrying water backwards and forwards to the wounded in the battlefield. So, and subhanAllah, sisters, especially after her beloved, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away, we see how for almost another 50 years after his passing, she spent her life striving in the path of ilm, striving in the path of knowledge, teaching, right? Passing down the knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving fatawa. And that's why one of the greatest lessons we also learn from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha is she showed us that, you know, being a scholar, that's not just something limited only to men, right? Because her level of knowledge was so extensive that scholars such as Imam Zuhri, rahimahullah, he said that, you know, if you were to take the knowledge of Aisha and compare it to the knowledge of other women, even including the women, you know, the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the knowledge of Aisha would be more. And another of the Imams, Al-Hakim, he said, rahimahullah, he said, one quarter of the Sharia and the Ahkam, the rulings that we have today are derived from what was narrated to us from Aisha radiallahu anha. So this is the legacy that she's passed down, subhanAllah. That's what I was saying before, that she, you know, she's like a mountain even in comparison to the majority of men as well, right? You know, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari from the Sahaba, he said that, you know, there was no matter which we were confused about regarding a particular hadith, and we would go and ask her about it, except we would find some knowledge of that with Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, as for her contribution to the science of hadith, right? She was from the top seven narrators of hadith, right? Altogether, she narrated a total of 2,210 hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only Abu Hurairah, Ibn Umar, and Anas narrated more a hadith than Aisha radiallahu anha. So she's from the top narrators of the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, something that's very unique to the hadiths of Aisha is they tend to be about the inner affairs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That, subhanAllah, we may never have known about these hadiths had it not been for Allah causing Aisha to preserve these hadiths for us. When it comes to giving fatawa, Islamic judgments, she was from the seven most reliable fuqaha from amongst the companions, right? To the level that the Khulafa al-Rashidin, we're talking about Omar, we're talking about Uthman, we're talking about Ali radiallahu anhum, if they weren't sure of something, they would go and seek the opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha. And we're talking about even in things like complicated matters to do with, like, you know, inheritance. All right, so as for her students, let's talk about her students. Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he says that, you know, there were at least 100 people, including women, who narrated a hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha. In fact, she had so many students from amongst the Sahaba and Tabi'een that a man and his son and his grandson and his great-grandson would all be from amongst those who had learned the hadith of Aisha, from Aisha, you know, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? As for the eloquence of her speeches that she would give, right? Ahnaf bin Qais, who's from Tabi'in, he said, I heard the khutbah of Abu Bakr. Like, he used to listen to the different khutbah, you know, of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, right? I heard the khutbah of Abu Bakr, the speeches of Abu Bakr. I heard the khutbah of Omar, Uthman, and Ali, and all of the Khulafa until this day. But subhanAllah, he said, I never heard speech from any mouth which was more eloquent and better than from the speech of Aisha, radiallahu anha wa adaha. As for her virtues, my dearest sisters, she was, we can say, the embodiment of every virtue to be possessed by a pious woman. She was the greatest role model to us in, you know, in her level of iman, her level of taqwa, her high akhlaq, her high character, her zuhd, you know, her renunciation, you know, renouncing of worldly, you know, worldly things, her hayat, her modesty, you know, her giving for the sake of Allah, her ibadah. You know, she would spend her nights praying and crying to Allah until her scarf would become wet from her tears. She would fast by the days. This is especially after the Messenger of Allah passed away. She would fast so many days, it was as if she only had Eid, like she didn't fast the two Eids. That's how she would fast, right? And, you know, she would go for Hajj after Hajj, Umrah after Umrah. Whatever she had, she would give it away for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, to the level that she would even often forget to leave something for herself. You know, she was the best and most pious wife to her husband, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the best and most pious daughter to her parents. Everybody who knew her, they knew her for her immense goodness and al-ihsan, right? And this is exactly, sisters, why she was the most beloved wife to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only loved that which was good and tayyib. He only loved that which is pure and tayyib. And that's why, dear sisters, whoever hates the one who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved, they deserve to be hated by Allah. May Allah protect us from that. So my dearest sisters, Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, she lived all the way up to during the Khilafah of Muawiyah, right? And she spent her life passing down the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of those generations that had passed by, from men and women, until the month of Ramadan came in the year, it was the 58th year after the Hijrah, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she became sick, so sick that she could no longer leave her bed anymore. And, you know, all she was thinking at that time and dreaming about, subhanAllah, was how she'll finally be in the Nabi, you know, reunited with her most beloved in Jannah, after being almost 50 years apart from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from those who came to visit her in those final days was Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. And, you know, he came, he sat close to her head, and he said to her, O my mother, verily you were from the most beloved of the wives to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only loved that which was good. And Allah Ta'ala revealed ayat about your innocence to be recited until the day of resurrection. So receive the good news of being reunited with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the next life, bi'idhnillah. And subhanAllah, my dear sisters, despite the caliber and despite the greatness of that Aisha had reached, when she heard those words, she said, Wallahi, by the one in whose hand is my life, I wish I had only ever been a tree that just glorifies Allah. Or I wish I had only ever been something forgotten and never known. SubhanAllah. This was due to her extreme humbleness and fear of Allah and how much she's looked down on herself and her achievements in this dunya. SubhanAllah. So my dearest sisters, the 17th night of Ramadan of that same year came, and some shouts could be heard in the streets of Medina. And subhanAllah, Salama was sitting in her house and she heard about that. She asked, what's going on? You know, she heard some noises. They told her, it's Aisha, she's passed away. SubhanAllah. And so Salama cried and the Muslims cried. And Salama, all she could say, she said, subhanAllah, she was the most beloved to the Prophet besides her father. And on that night, the people came out from all of the districts of Medina. And in fact, the people said that we had never seen so many people gathered like the people were gathered on that night. And they said that there were so many women who were gathered on that night near Al-Baqiya, right? It was as if it was like an Eid. And so after the Muslims had, you know, finished praying Tarawih, because it's Ramadan, right? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was the one who prayed the funeral prayer for Aisha. And then the nephews of Aisha and her grandsons, and the grandsons of Abu Bakr, they carried Aisha and, you know, they placed her in her grave. SubhanAllah, so my dearest sisters, you know, this was only a very small snapshot of the life of Aisha, right? But just, you know, just contemplate and look at her legacy. And also just imagine that every time one of us reads or listens to one of the hadiths of the Prophet that she narrated, right, that she helped to preserve, right, that those hadiths are all like a testimony and witness of the greatness of al-Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, and, you know, of the beneficial knowledge that she left behind her that will go on to benefit her continually while she's in her grave and in the akhirah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So I ask Allah ta'ala to, first of all, I ask him, subhanAllah, to help us to live, just to be like a fingernail of Aisha, radiallahu anha, in our legacies, inshallah. But I ask Allah ta'ala that he gives us the opportunity to meet Aisha, radiallahu anha, in Jannah. And I ask Allah ta'ala that he allows us to actually give her a hug, you know, inshallah, in the same way that we hug each other now, as when we meet each other, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And I ask Allah ta'ala that he forgives us and he guides us, he keeps us upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And these are our role models, my dear sisters. If we want to be with them in Jannah, we need to take them as our role models and try to, you know, emulate them in every aspect of our lives as much as we are able, and always ask Allah, you know, to rectify you and to try to make you to be as much as, you know, living your life as much as possible in the footsteps of these righteous women, especially Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. And may Allah forgive us all, inshallah. May Allah help us all to enter Jannah safely, bi'idhnillah. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa li wa lakum wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.